It's good to be here once again as we're here to study the Word of God and grow towards perfection. Not only study it, but apply it in our lives so we'll be better Christians. I want to continue my thought on the subject of the marriage feast. The marriage feast. And as we deal with talking to people, inviting people to church, we might as well accept the fact that there are some people are not going to obey God. There are those who will. And just because we invite people, don't stop inviting. We can see this in this parable. Now in Matthew 22, verses 1 through 5 is what I'll read. Matthew 22, verses 1 through 5. Okay. Now we want to deal with, we're going to be dealing with the wedding was filled with guests because the people, the servants kept inviting people. At the very beginning, they invited people, they wouldn't come, but they kept on. And that's what we have to do. We just have to keep on inviting people. Now look at Matthew 22, verse 1. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables. Now remember, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus spoke in parables. He dealt with things that people were familiar with. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, that is, he spoke to the chief priests and the Pharisees, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. Now the kingdom of heaven is the church on earth. You remember Paul said that he had been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear son. I'm going to take his jacket off. It's getting a little warm to me. And so the kingdom and the church is the same. Okay. Now look at verse 3. And sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Wasn't nobody's fault. The servants went out and invited them, but the people were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. Now look at verse 5. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. There you have it right there. So that's telling us that there are those in the world who are more interested in material things than they are spiritual things. Their business, their farm, things of that nature. Okay? And if you remember, we talked about how the gospel was sent to the Jews first and they wouldn't accept it. Now the Gentiles took the place of the Jews. Look at Romans chapter 2, 28. Romans chapter 2 and verse 28. Romans chapter 2 and verse 28. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. And of course, you and I know that under the law of Moses, the Jews were circumcised when they were 8 days old, and circumcision put one in the Jewish family. That system been nailed to the cross. Today, we are circumcised by circumcision of the heart, by cutting sin out of our lives. And that was a problem with some of the Jews. They didn't want to do that. Look at verse 29 again. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. All right. Now, the plan of God cannot be defeated. Just remember that. God's plan cannot be defeated. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 39, let's look at that. And you know, when the apostles went out and was preaching the word of God, they were told to stop preaching in the name of the Lord. They were put in prison, but they didn't stop preaching. They just kept on preaching. In Acts chapter 5, look at verse, we just look at there at verse 38 as well, Acts 5, and look at verse 38 and 39. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. Look at verse 39. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. And when people fight against God, they're not going to win. So we can see here, if it's of God, it's going to work. If it's not of God, we know it's not going to work. And so they did not stop preaching the word. The apostles did not stop preaching the word. The robeless man. If you remember in Matthew 22 and verse 11, now I'm going to be going back and forth here. Matthew 22, and we're going to read verses 10 and verse 11. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. He was speechless. Now the robeless man preferred his own robe rather than one prepared for the occasion. He preferred his own. That's when we're going to be looking at these robes and things of that nature. The wedding garment represents right living. If you look at Revelation 19, because he talks about these garments and these robes. And so the wedding garments represent right living. In Revelation 19, let's look in way back in the, well, it's the last book in the Old Testament. And we just want to look at Revelation 19. In Revelation chapter 19 and verses 7 and 8. And when John was writing on the island of Patmos, you remember, and he wrote some things. And so Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. See, the glory belongs to God. Any good that we do in a spiritual way, the glory belongs to God. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Now the marriage actually began on Pentecost. When Peter preached the first gospel sermon and 3,000 of the Jews obeyed the gospel, that's when the marriage began. That's when the Church of Christ was established in Jerusalem around AD 33. Now, if you look at the next verse, verse 8, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is, watch it, is the righteous acts of the saints. See right there? Let's just go ahead and read verse 9 there. I'm going to go ahead and do that. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Now verse 8, I want you to look at verse 8 again. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Now the robes of the saints are clean and white, having been cleansed by the blood of Christ. And that's what the blood does, it cleanses. They are of fine linen, we see, symbolizing the righteousness of the saints, making up the bride, which is the church. So the bride is Christ's wife. And I tell people that Christ only has one wife. He only has one church. And if we could get people to see that, then there wouldn't be all of these different churches that you see. And they're not in the Bible. And I tell people this, that should tell us something. If they're not in the book, they could not have been established by Christ, because everything he wants us to know is in the Bible. Now I'm going to take you to Isaiah 61 and verse 10 in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. Where the Isaiah the prophet, he prophesied at that time about how the New Testament church would come into existence, and that there would be no difference between Jews and Gentiles, that we all are together. Here we are. There's no church for the Jews and no church for the Gentiles. It's all one body. We are one in Christ Jesus. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adores her. Let's just start over. Verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, as a bride adores herself with jewels. You can see what it is there. So as a bride adores herself with jewels. And so what is he saying here? The pronoun, if you look there at verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. The pronoun I represent Israel responding to the favorable prediction of the good fortune to come to her in the new dispensation. Talked about the church to come. New dispensation under Christ. Jews and Gentiles made fellow heirs of the blessings of the new covenant. There is no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. Okay? And that's what he's talking about here. Isaiah prophesied that we're going to be as one. There won't be no difference. The wall of partition has been broken down between Jews and Gentiles. And now I'm going to tell you this, that the Jews, even after the New Testament came into effect, the Jews had a problem with the Gentiles, and still they didn't like the Gentiles, they hated the Gentiles, but now the Gentiles are just like the Jews as far as salvation is concerned, and God wanted the Jews to get rid of all of that. The one without the wedding garment represent the unprepared. You remember in Matthew 22, 13 and 14, we'll go back there. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22 there. Look at 13 and 14. Then the king, well, let's back up here. Yeah, that's what I want, 13 and 14. Then the king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. And we'll maybe say something about that later on, but we know that we're called through the gospel, and when you go out and invite people to church, they have been called. They can't say they haven't heard it. They have been called, but only a few will answer the call. Only a few will obey the gospel. Now remember, the robeless man was speechless there in verse 12. Look at verse 12. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. See, at the judgment, all the unprepared will be speechless. They won't be able to make anything right. Right now is the time that we have to make it all right. And so at the judgment, all unprepared will be speechless. At the judgment, excuses will be of no value. Any excuse that people make, and I've heard a lot of them out there, you invite people, you hear all kinds of excuses. That won't mean anything at the judgment day. Because God expects us and expects people to just obey His word. And we can obey His word. Romans 12, 1 and 2, where Paul, you remember Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So he says we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices. And there's times that we just have to renew our minds. By the renewing of our minds, we can't be like the world. We cannot act like the world. Pardon me. We cannot act like the world. We cannot talk like the world. The world curses on the secular jobs. They curse. We can't do that. We have to be different. And we work on that every day. At the judgment, excuses will be of no value. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, where Paul kind of commended the Corinthians because he says, do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That means the homosexuals. They can't go to heaven. Not thieves, not covetous, not drunkards, not revilers, not extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you remember he said, and such were some of you. He said, you're not now. That's past tense. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were justified, but you were sanctified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. They repented. They repented. They changed. And that was wonderful. Now, he wasn't bringing up their past to hurt them in no way. He said, and such were some of you, but you done made that right. You have made that right. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul and how he was made a statement that at one time we all were foolish, disobedient, living in all that junk, but we repented. And for those who are not Christians, they need to do the same thing. I tell them out there, you know, at one time we all were disobedient. We disobeyed our parents. You know, but now we done changed, we done repented, and we okay. In Titus 2 and verse 12, Paul, the preacher Paul, told the preacher Titus, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. We have to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And we have to live a sober life. Have to live a life that is pleasing in the sight of God. As we talk about the robeless man, the man who didn't have the garment, or the robeless man was cast into outer darkness. Matthew 22 and verse 13. Matthew 22 and verse 13, where the book tells us here. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the point that we have to remember, that all unprepared church members will be cast out, because there's been some that have been baptized into Christ, and you go door knocking, and then, you know, I've talked to people and they say, well, I once was a member, I said, but I got out. And I asked them, why'd you get out? And some just said they just got out. They just got out. In 1 Peter chapter 4, let's look at this here. Doing pretty good on time. 1 Peter chapter 4 and 16. In the Christian life, you just have to hang in there. You cannot give up. And I've seen a lot of people to quit and give up. Can't do that. We won't be saved if we give up. I'm talking about now, those who have once obeyed the gospel, and then they want to give up. 1 Peter chapter 4 and 16. Yet if anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. God named his people. And we know that we are Christians. The word Christian there means a called out group of people, those who have obeyed the gospel of Christ. Yet if anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. And then he says there in verse 17, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, that is with much difficulty or hardship, if the righteous is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? See, there is no hope for sinners who don't repent and be baptized. And for those who are Christians and go back to the world, there's no hope for them when they go back to the world and stay in the world and don't come back and don't repent. There's just no hope for them. It, you know, it's sad, but that's the way that it is. In Matthew chapter 25, 41, you remember Jesus said, remember he said, I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger. You didn't take me in. I think he said I was naked and you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, you didn't visit me. He's talking about those who are members of the body of Christ and was guilty of the sin of neglect. The sin of neglect. Didn't visit. You know, didn't clothe. They were cast into everlasting fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. God wants us to love one another. God wants us to take care of one another. That's the way God operates. And then we find in Revelations 21 and verse 8, Revelations 21 and verse 8, and then we have to just tell the truth. Sometimes people in the body of Christ, as far as dealing with people, they lie and don't tell the truth. People have to tell the truth. God wants people to tell the truth. All right. Now, Revelations 21 and verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, the cowardly, that is those who shrink back from their responsibility, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now notice that he says the liars, people just don't tell the truth. You go out there and talk to people, you know, about assembling. I'm talking about even people who are members of the church. You know, why did you stop coming? And they won't tell the truth. Well, there's something in their lives. A lot of times they just don't want to give up. Just tell the truth. And sometimes they'll tell you the truth. We had to end up withdrawing from some people back years ago. A lady, and she said, you go ahead and do what you have to do because I won't be back. She just told me that. She didn't. At least she just told me the truth. And then there's others. Went to a gospel meeting and one of the men made an announcement at one of the congregation, won't call the congregation's name. He said he's been visiting and talking to some people who have gotten out. And they just keep lying to him. And said, somebody else can go. Maybe they start lying to you. But because he didn't want to go back because he done been several times. And this is all they're doing, not telling the truth. And he was kind of a little bit, just got tired and said, maybe somebody else can go. All right. All who obey not the gospel will be cast out. Look at 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1, and once again, even those who once obeyed the gospel, we know those who didn't obey, they're not going to be saved. And those who have obeyed, they're going to be lost. Now, I want you to look at this here, because back several years ago, I was studying with a gentleman. And the phrase that God talked about, he's going to send those to out of darkness to hell, those who do not know God. And he said, that's not fair to them. But those who do not know God, it means those who didn't obey the gospel. It don't mean that they haven't heard about God. They don't know about the existence of God. But let's look at this here. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay those, to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. See, God is righteous. God does not make any mistakes. And people who trouble God's people and give them a hard time, they don't know that God's going to punish them for that. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance or justice, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, they heard it, but they didn't obey it. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. If you look there in verse 8, in God is Jesus Christ is coming in the cloud in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news. There's nothing, it's not bad news, it's good news because it saves. And so we see here that Jesus will come in the power. He has the authority, majesty and glory. He's going to come in majesty and glory in blazing fire and accompanied by angels of exalted rank and power. Mark 8:38. The word vengeance, and this is very important because I read this at one time, and I'm sure you have too, and didn't really understand what he was talking about, that he's going to come back and take in vengeance. The word vengeance is used in the sense of punishment. It's used in the sense of punishment rather than the sense of passionate revenge. God is not vindictive, but on behalf of those who have been wrong, he will punish the wrongdoer. Revelation 19:2. Those who are willingly ignorant of God and who stubbornly refuse the gospel of Christ will be punished. Romans 2:8-9. It's not that people don't understand the word of God, that sometimes they just stubbornly refuse to obey. By God's grace, he has provided the means of forgiveness, Ephesians 2:4-10. Sinners stand condemned not simply because of rejection of Christ, but due to their own sins. Isaiah 59:1-2. Remember the prophet said, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save. He can save. Neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. He can hear. But remember he said, but your sins and your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you that he won't hear. And so if people don't obey God and don't obey the gospel, they can't be saved. Ezekiel 18:20. I think it's going to say something about like the soul that sinned it, it shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, neither the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. But the prophet said, but if the wicked man would turn from all his sins that he has committed, and keep all my statutes and does what is lawful and right, he will live. He shall not die. And it's just so many things there that the prophet talks about. Romans 6:23, Paul was writing to the Romans, and he was telling them, let me look at that. I think I know what I have it quoted, but sometimes I may miss one or two. And this is what he says here, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So by rejecting the knowledge of God and the gospel of his grace, they reject the only means of forgiveness. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So those scriptures are plain that people who don't know God are those who don't obey God, and that who don't believe God, who don't believe his word. And God is coming back one day, and they'll have to give an account for their lives, as everybody must give an account for his life. The robeless man affirms the possibility of apostasy, of falling away. He accepted the invitation. They're talking about people who are Christians. They accept the invitation, but they left the faith. He was unprepared when the king came in. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many will not accept the call. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, because a lot of people ask me, how are you called? Well, it's just through the gospel. Just like a gospel preacher, how is a gospel preacher called? He's called through the gospel. Mark 16:16. When Jesus told his apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, will be saved. He who disbelieves will be condemned. And so you have to deal with people who's going to teach that you don't have to be baptized to be saved. Denominational preachers. As a matter of fact, the Church of Christ is the only church who believe that baptism is essential to salvation. Jesus did not say he who believes and is saved. He said he who believes and is baptized is saved. That's Mark 16:15-16. Acts 2:36-41 talks about on the day of Pentecost, that's when people obeyed the gospel. The Jews were pricked in their hearts. The gospel pricked their hearts. And they cried out, what must we do? And they repented. Peter told them to repent, change your mind, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we looked at 2 Thessalonians 1:6-9, when God's going to come back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know him, who didn't obey the gospel, and those who did not accept it and did not, and those who didn't keep it. Hebrews 5:9, Jesus is perfect. He makes no mistakes, but he is the author of those who obey him. One must obey the gospel. Many who answer the call will not make preparation. Matthew 22:11, which we already read. In Matthew 25:1-13 deals with the, you remember in these scriptures, you know, and I'm putting them on tape, and that way people, they can listen to them and go to these scriptures. But it deals with the wise virgins, five wise and five foolish. You remember this. In the church, we have members who are wise and we have members who are foolish. And we know that the wise are those who obey God. The foolish who are those who disobey, and one is meet God to the judgment, and having obeyed him, have lived a foolish life. Now there's one more scripture. And I appreciate your patience. I didn't think I was going to finish all this. But I want you to look at Luke 8:13. And I'm going to bring it to a close here. But look at Luke 8 and verse 13. It deals with the sower. And how the sower went out and sowed the seed. And the sower is the teacher or the preacher. And in Luke chapter 8. And look at verse 12. And we'll read verse 13. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now look at verse 13. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. You ever had somebody that you talk to and they were just excited about it? I mean, they were really excited about it. I've seen people like this. Receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in times of temptation, fall away. What kind of person is this person? These hastily makes a religious profession. But they forget altogether to count what the real cause of such a profession amounts to. They didn't really count the cost. I've dealt with people like this. You talk to them and they're excited about it. And they really didn't count the cost. Upon the superficial but kind nature comes trouble, perplexity, discouragement, perhaps persecution. See, they didn't count the cause. Then quickly, the once love religion withers away like corn growing on rocky places beneath the burning summer sun. A person needs to meditate on the truth and establish them as principles for living in order to withstand the temptations and the trials. And one can preach. I can be preached, but we have to understand that the trials and the temptations are going to come. And there's been gospel preachers to get out, to quit. And they have quit. But I'm here to tell you, dealing with people, you see, all you can do is keep yourself straight. It's all you can do. And that's the lesson for this morning that I have. But just keep inviting. My lesson is this. Just keep on inviting people when you have the opportunity. Just keep on inviting. And if we don't invite, we know we can't, nobody's going to use it. Just don't come right to a church building, maybe a few. But most of the time we have to do that. We have to invite the Great Commission. Those who are not Christian, one must hear the gospel, need to believe it, repent of your sins, confess Christ before men, and be buried with him in baptism. That puts one in the body of Christ. And once we obey the gospel, we've got to be faithful unto the end. Revelation 2 and verse 10, Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life." If you're subject to the gospel in any way, please come. While the gathering stand and sing, please come.